Juice. Here you go. Here's juice.
Yes.
Matt and Jill Lanhard's 4-year-old son, Ian, tells his parents he's thirsty using a book filled with small, movable pictures attached to Velcro strips.
And he'll make sentences on a sentence strip with a picture that has a hand reaching for something and the words say, I want. And then he just now, he wanted something to drink, so he chose juice.
Communication is a major challenge for Ian, who has not yet developed speech. He has autism, a developmental disorder that affects a child's ability to speak and interact with others, as well as their movement and their perception of sensory input like sound and touch. Some kids with autism make repetitive hand movements or sounds they may find comforting. Jill says they first began to notice something was different about Ian when he was 4 or 5 months old.
We started to notice that he wouldn't really look at us when he should have been starting to do that, more eye contact and interaction from an infant. And at about 9 months old, we thought, he's not sitting up like he should be. So we started to ask questions, is this okay?
And Ian's progress remained slow, and he was diagnosed with autism shortly after he turned 2. The family considered moving to the lower 48, where Ian could possibly get special services tailored to address his autism, but they decided to stay in Petersburg. It was home. It was where they wanted Ian and his brother and sister to grow up.
It meant we had to make some big changes, and so the first thing that happened is I quit my job so that I could provide services to him that aren't available here.
Jill did some training on autism intervention. The Lenhards wrote up a program for their son and wrote a grant to hire someone to work with Ian, but the work was pretty specialized and they couldn't find anyone in town who could do it.
It was a hard transition to know that by staying here, we're taking on a lot of this load ourselves, but we also can't feel like we're going to save him from autism because that burden's too great. So we had to kind of come to a balance there.
Part of that balance was making sure they devoted enough time to Ian's siblings, 9-year-old Nathaniel and 6-year-old Ava.
We really try to do one-on-one things with our other kids and let them know it's okay for them to express frustration and, you know, to say, you're not paying attention to me, and just to be really open, but also we have Ian for a reason. Our family's been given Ian, and we need to love him. Mm-hmm. That's our task.
Sitting next to her mom, Ava chews on a frozen Go-Gurt as she describes some of the things she loves about her little brother.
Sometimes he kisses me.
Yeah?
Do you think he loves you? How can you tell?
Because sometimes he really just smiles at me when I'm just going to tickle him.
Mm-hmm.
As the Lenhards talk about Ian, he wanders into the living room and stands near the wood stove, listening and watching his parents' conversation.
Just with the getting next to the stove, sensations and textures and sounds are a big part of who he is. You know, he loves the sensation of warmth.
He also loves water and swimming and many other things a typical 4-year-old enjoys, including music, which is not surprising since his father is the school music teacher. But Matt and Jill wonder if their youngest son isn't experiencing music differently than they do.
There may be a whole other level of music perception going on in his brain and physically that, you know, we can't experience, so...
I play the piano for him.
Oh, yeah.
And if I play it wrong, he gets kind of mad. I mean, not really mad, but he'll be like, oh, and I'll have to go back and, you know, try again. I've gotten a little bit better at playing the piano because of that.
While Ian doesn't speak, Jill says he is able to go to a preschool with an aide and lots of other help provided by the local school district.
It was a real blessing. It really helped me not feel so responsible for, you know, any progress that he made. I had help, finally. It helped our family, I think, feel more like we were getting the help that we really needed just to be a healthy family. So we're very thankful for the district and the people that work with him.
Autism describes a broad spectrum of people. Some may have more severe disabilities, while others may actually excel in academics, athletics, or other pursuits. Melinda and Jared Cook's oldest son, Shade, is in 5th grade. He was diagnosed last year as having high-functioning autism.
If you've really observed one child who is autistic, you've really only observed one child with autism. They are all so 100% different, though they share a group of characteristics that are what make them autistic. or have Asperger's, they're not the same.
While autism is generally considered a developmental disorder, Melinda sees it as part of who her son is.
He is just this really cool kid who loves Star Wars and Star Trek and is very computer-oriented, has great artistic skills with drawing on the computer with his hands. He's a hands-on learner, kinetic. He's not a sit-down-and-read-the-book kind of person.
It's easy when they draw a picture of it.
Is it because you see things kind of more in a visual form versus abstract?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shade is talkative and outgoing, but like many children with high-functioning autism, he has difficulty picking up on social cues and subtleties and responding appropriately.
The problem is they don't communicate with us any better than we're communicating with them. It's kind of like there's a wall between us and them, and any of the social communication skills that they build have got to be taught.
Shade is well aware that he's a bit different, and Melinda thinks he is comfortable with himself. If you ask him about it, he'll tell you that he doesn't think much about having autism. Like a lot of kids his age, he'd rather talk about things that he enjoys, like chess or Star Wars movies, video games, and TV shows.
My favorite things to do is go home, play the game called Arthur and the Invisibles, and it's a fun game, and watch Country Fried Home Videos.
Melinda says Shade has a lot of kids in his class who look out for him, but being different is not always easy, and he'll soon be going into middle school where kids typically grow more critical of one another.
He will tell you he doesn't have any friends, and that one of the hardest things is he does. He doesn't read facial cues. He doesn't read body language. And so he actually just has a really hard time knowing he has friends.
Shade's mom says he's got an amazing memory, and with extra help, she believes he will be able to learn the skills he needs to lead an independent life as an adult. She says it's helped her family to have a support network of other parents in town.
We can gain a lot of resources from each other, different parents within the community that have children on the spectrum, and there's quite a support system, and I gather and gain a lot of encouragement from each of these people in the town.
Like the Lenhards, Melinda Cook says the school district has been very good about accommodating her child's needs, but if the state does come through with more funding, some parents and educators say the district could improve its special education program by doing more training with all the staff, hiring a speech pathologist and a behavioral therapist, services that would not only help children with autism, but all kids with special needs. And there are a lot of the roughly 550 students in Petersburg schools. More than 100 receive some form of special education. That includes kids with autism, like Ian Lenhard. Matt and Jill Lenhard plan to enroll Ian in kindergarten next fall. As an intensive needs child, the school will provide him with an aide throughout the day. Still, the transition is a bit scary for the family.
I look forward to it in a way, you know.
Yeah, it's a little
just
unnerving.
It's something different, you know.
To throw it's your unnerving. Child into that situation, you know, they don't have the skills to do what a typical kindergartner is supposed to be able to do, but you know that it really is probably the best thing for them. That what they need is to work on that social interaction.
The Lenhards try not to look too far into the future, but they're optimistic that as Ian grows up and goes to school in Petersburg, the community will appreciate and accept him for who he is. I'm Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg.